Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen, and in studio, as usual, our wonderful engineer.
Come on. You're struggling for adjectives here.
Yeah, I couldn't throw any more, Paul. Sorry. How are you, Paul?
I am hungry. Well, I'm hungry for stories and information about your next guest is going to supply, because I've been to this event. It's a really cool thing.
So that is an amazing lead-in. So, Stephanie, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Of course. So we have as our guest today Stephanie Farnsworth Salem, who is the founder and CEO of Newport Beach Wine and Food. What a great topic.
Yeah, who doesn't love wine and food?
No one in this room.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're a sommelier yourself, so.
Which is why I'm so excited to actually even be part of the event this year.
Yes.
I'm super excited. We're certainly going to spend a lot of the show talking about the event, but I want the audience to learn a little bit more about you and how did you get to be founder and CEO of this event? So how did you start and how did you get to where you are today?
Yeah. So, you know, I call myself a serial entrepreneur. I've built businesses all over the world, in 7 different countries to be exact. And my last business was in Nigeria. And it took me several years to finish it, much longer than I expected. But it really taught me, all of these experiences taught me how to build a business. Mm-hmm. And so I had taken a few years off to have kids and I was ready to start a new business again. And so I started thinking about, okay, what am I passionate about? What am I good at? What am I better at than most? And so I read this book written by a University of Pennsylvania Wharton professor called Springboard. And it really focused me to start thinking about my passions and, quote, what I'm better at than most. And what I love. So I'm thinking travel, food, you know, I'm better at than most than starting a business from scratch, not knowing anybody. And then I started watching all of these documentaries on successful entrepreneurs. And this one day, I watched this one on Ted Turner, and one of the quotes that struck me was, if it's not a little bit scary, it's not big enough. Strangely, I was watching a Jay-Z video a documentary about him starting his music festival on the East Coast with music from all different genres. And then I was thinking, well, you know what? The Taste of Newport ended 2 years ago, and there are no food and wine festivals in the city of Newport Beach anymore. So, you know, why not create something, you know, like the Aspen Food and Wine Classic, but here in Newport Beach, and bring in celebrity chefs and restaurants and tastings and cooking demos and have different dinners with celebrity chefs cooking and create, you know, we went from 3 events year one and we have 21 events over 4 days this year. Wow. So we keep growing every year.
Yeah.
So that's how it started. That was my inspiration. That was the aha moment.
Yeah.
And then I just, you know, put the, you know, started pounding the pavement, honestly, because I had an international business background. So most of my business acquaintances were anywhere but Newport Beach. So, and then again, I had taken a few years off to have 2 kids. Mm-hmm. So I kind of came in cold and I literally had to knock on doors and just go introduce myself and really tell people about my vision and see if they were interested in partnering.
So how did you go from vision to the first event?
Well, I mean, there are many, many things that happened. Yeah. First, it was finding a venue. Mm-hmm. So at the Newport Beach Civic Centers, where we've been having it for the past 6 years.
Yeah.
And so I had to get the city on board, talk to them and tell them the vision. Then getting sponsors and restaurants and people to raise money to pay for it.
Right.
Which one thing I didn't learn until after the fact was that most first year's events don't make money. Something I wish I had done a little more research in, but I was committed and I knew I was going to have to invest something. I invested more than I had preferred or that was ideal year one.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I didn't, we wouldn't be here today.
Sure.
And I joke that I was the title sponsor year one. But, you know, I mean, I never, a lot of people said, why don't you go get a real job? You know, and, you know, that's so stressful and, you know, it's so much work. And, but I never, ever once in any of my businesses have thought like about quitting.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well,
so,
how do you...
I have a real job. You just don't know it yet.
Where does that drive from you come from? Is that with all of your businesses? Is that something you learned or is that something you're born with?
You know, I mean, I've always wanted to see the world. I've always had this passion to see the world. I've always had a passion for food. I think my dad really taught me not to quit. Mm. You know, I think he was a great inspiration and really gave me, you know, the best things in life are worth working for.
Sure.
And so he was just a strong man. Unfortunately, he passed away last year.
Oh,
but
sorry.
Yeah. But
you got to see your event though?
He did.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
He went to four of them at least.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So how many people did you have at your first event and how many are you expecting this year?
Not as many as at our first event. What another thing I learned was how, you know, important media is because I had never done something quite like this before.
Yeah.
So I really was learning a lot as I went along the first year. So it took so much to get it started and literally working every single day from when I started it to when it actually happened. And, you know, we pulled it off within minutes of it actually happening year one.
Wow.
So we could have had more time and a better marketing plan to get the word out. But it was an enormous hit with everyone that attended and participants and the sponsors that took the leap of faith with me the first year. They are still our sponsors today, six years
amazing.
Later. Yeah, so
wow.
I'm kind of proud of that.
Yeah, I'll say.
Because everyone's getting something out of it. I think it's a win-win for everybody, from the guests to our partners to...
Somebody's tweeting frantically. They want to know when's the event.
Oh,
has it happened? Is it coming up?
It's coming up. It's October 3rd through 6th.
And we're going to talk about all of the little events inside, so stay tuned, everybody. Hold on.
Okay.
So what are so at the core, you are what type of a production company?
So we're the festival is a nonprofit, and then I also have a production company. But that production company, we produce the festival, and we also produce other events for corporate clients all over the country.
Yeah. Okay. And you were talking, kind of the evolution of that was you hired production companies before, and then you decided, hey, this is something we can do.
Exactly. But since I came from a different background, I had to learn how to do it before I could do it myself.
Yeah.
So I learned how to do it. And now we've been doing it for the past couple of years ourselves. Yeah. And it's growing. That side of the business is definitely growing, like the festival itself.
Okay. All right. So we're going to find out some of the fun stuff that's going to be going on. So it's for three full days, right?
Four full days.
And at actually multiple locations, right?
Yes. So we start off with our golf tournament at Pelican Hill. We have a celebrity chef breakfast and we have the whole course for the day. It's a sold out event, but then we have an opening night gala. We're raising money for Covenant House.
Okay.
Then we have Fire It Up, which is one of the coolest events. We did it last year for the first time and it's a repeat for sure. We do it at the Balboa Bay Resort, right outside overlooking like on the sand and grass. We have a live reggae band and we have 8 celebrity chefs from Bravo's Top Chef. Like the All-Stars winners, multi-time alum, all barbecuing and plating food and serving our guests.
So great.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, open bars and so one ticket gets you everything.
Yeah.
And then we have an interactive dinner. We have a private yacht party.
Of course you do. You have to.
It's Newport Beach. Oh, we have a celebrity. Or we have a chef. Richard Blaze is hosting our luxury home tour this year, which we haven't done before either.
Yeah.
So we're doing a progressive lunch through 3 luxury homes in the Pelican Hill area.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
How are you getting people from one house to another?
We have big... They're like the black luxury buses.
Sure.
Like it's 100 people. We have 2
people?
Of them.
Yeah.
2 50-person buses.
And where does Bart's home fit in? Is he one of the first ones? Or?
Aren't you in Laguna?
Wrong city.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right.
And then, so we have on Saturday, we have a main event. We have Opus One Vertical Library tasting.
Yeah.
a Riedel Masterclass seminar. Then we have our main event, which we have a new event this year called the Diamond Club. And with that ticket, it also gets you into the grand tasting.
Yeah.
It's a VIP early entrance ticket, but we have 15 of the most incredible world-class wines pouring in there, like Opus One and 100 Acre, Morlay, Ovid, Realm. Yeah. You know, we have Petrosian Caviar. Yeah. A mirror mirror photo booth, if you know what that is. It's the photo that makes you look 20 years younger. So everybody keeps the photo. They're black and white ones. They call them the Kardashian photos.
So, Paul, would it surprise you to know that I already have tickets for this event? Not for the photos, but for the wine and food.
I'm shocked. I didn't think you'd go. I just didn't believe it.
I thought so.
Yeah. And then we have a VIP ticket that gets you in early, but not into the Diamond Club. So the Diamond Club is our most... elite ticket. And then the grand tasting. So over the weekend, we have 40 different restaurants. There's amazing wines in the grand tasting, 250 different types that you could try if you want. So I recommend going both days so you can try them
all. You at least pace yourself.
Because I don't think you'll make it out of there alive if you try them all in one day.
Can I share with you a little challenge that I have? I haven't told you this yet. So, you know, I have the VIP
Diamond Club.
Yep. So excited about that. My high school reunion's that night, too.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So I'm going to do my full tasting and see how I do at the reunion.
Oh, my gosh. You'll come in fun at the reunion.
Coming in hot.
Do you want to go on Sunday instead? You can do that.
Oh, I have to do both, probably.
Yes. And then,
at the
end of
the night, he'll have his whole high school class coming with him
the next day.
That's a good idea. If it's not sold out.
Yeah, right.
And then during the grand tasting, we have celebrity chef cooking demos, which are just tons of fun. You know, these chefs come in and not only do they teach you, you know, how to make something, but they entertain you. They do like wacky things. Uh-huh. You know, they
Can you tell us the one you shared off about somebody with flamethrowers or something?
Oh, yeah. Richard Blaze last year, he brought out this homemade flamethrower.
Homemade? That's nice.
It was homemade. We're like, okay, how's the fire department going to think about this? And some liquid nitrogen and just threw it in, a big poof, like the magical wizard that he is.
Yeah.
Wow. You know. Everybody entertains. Or, you know, Amar Santana was a comedian last year.
Is he going to be here this year, too?
You know, he's not. He's opening a new restaurant, but we are doing another event with him. And so Hubert Keller's coming back, Brooke Williamson, Shirley Chung, Casey Thompson, John Tazar, the winner of Top Chef this last season.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Oh, you have quite a lineup.
Yeah, Nobu's coming back again. We're doing another demo and lunch with him.
Yeah.
I think I said Hubert Keller and Antoni Lofaso. So really fun demonstrations.
Yeah.
Has there been anything?
Jamie Gwen's going to join us this year.
Has there been anything like this? You know, I know before they just would have the Newport Beach food tasting and they'd have restaurants. That's been around for a while. But this idea of having top chefs and high-end wine demonstrations and all the other things. Is this new or fairly new?
They have many of these around the country, but none in Newport Beach. So Taste of Newport just had restaurants, so you would get a ticket to go in, and then you paid for them.
But that was a wild, crazy party, too.
Yes, and that ended 2 years before I started that. Yeah. So that's been over for 8 years.
Yeah.
So this is totally different. You buy one ticket, and everything's included.
So much
when
better.
You get in. Yeah.
And I've heard it compared to, and I think this is a compliment, but to like the Pebble Beach
food
and wine.
Yes.
Do you think that's a fair
Absolutely. I've been to Pebble Beach food and wine, and those guys do a great job, and I'm happy to be in the same comparison sentence with them. A lot of the celebrity chefs have said that that's the only event that they can compare ours to. So I will take that.
Yeah, it's quite a compliment. So let's get into some like fun stories now. Like what are some things that you have surprised you or things you didn't think of that would happen and have happened? And I'm kind of loading you up, but
yeah, gosh, that list is long because with live events, anything can happen. And as prepared as you think you are, the unexpected seems to always happen. So
let's do the dumpster story.
Oh. Okay, well, this was last year. This was hilarious because I have my whole production team that I work with on a daily basis. Yeah. But typically with dumpsters, we have our maintenance. And we had to put the dumpster liner, which is, it's a $100 trash bag, the biggest trash bag ever, that you have to fit in the dumpster because you can't leak.
Okay. So, another thing you don't think of.
Exactly. So I didn't hire the maintenance people to get there early enough to line this dumpster trash can. So I looked at my team and I'm like,
get in.
My all female team. And I'm like, okay, girls, we're getting in the dumpster.
Wow.
And we lined it, and you know, the city staff is looking at us laughing. But you do what you have to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
what are some things that, so that's maybe one, but what that you didn't think of, like, especially early on, like, gosh, this is something we need to make sure we take care of next year. Anything along those lines?
I mean, every year we find something that we need to do to make it better.
Yeah.
And so we listen to feedback. Like, I listen to feedback. And if somebody, you can't please everybody 100% of the time, but that's our goal. Mm-hmm. But if there's something that somebody didn't like, we will absolutely listen to it and see if we can, you know, do better the next year. So we're constantly changing. Mm-hmm. Year one is totally different than two and three and four and five and six. And six is going to be the best yet.
Of course. Until seven.
Until seven, yeah. Seven's my lucky number, so we'll see.
What were some of the biggest challenges that you faced?
You know, I mean, when starting this originally, obviously when you have a new event and you're trying to get sponsors and partners to financially back it, you don't have any track record. You know, you haven't done anything yet.
Yeah.
So it's harder for people to take that leap of faith with you. So I encountered tons of rejection.
Yeah.
But once I started encountering some success and then more people came along, I never got to where I needed to be mm-hmm. with the sponsorship level year one.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's always year two.
Yeah.
So that was a challenge. Yeah. I knocked on a lot of doors and really worked probably 16 hours a day that first year.
Wow.
Every day.
Well, you're either an amazing salesperson or very influential or maybe a combo of both or persistent.
I think persistent and I think it's called grit. Yeah. But I honestly didn't know anybody in Newport, like business wise in Newport, because that wasn't my arena.
Yeah.
For years. Mm. So even though I've worked, you know, I've got 25, 30 years of business experience, and I can date
that's
myself.
That's got to be the foundation of what got you to get through this event, right? Your found of the businesses that you've done and worked for. And
Yeah, and it's given me the confidence to know I could do it.
Yeah.
You know, people thought, why you? You don't come from the restaurant industry.
Yeah.
And I said, well, if you don't know me, you really don't know me, because I could do this. Yeah.
Now, how challenging, you're a single mom,
yes,
right?
And
then you did take some time off for the kids.
I took some time off before I started this. Mm-hmm. But when they were two and four, that's when I decided to start another business. Mm-hmm. And that happens to be when I got divorced. So, it's been a single mom through this whole thing. So it's been a work on all sides, this, you know.
Yeah,
being present and
so if you got your kids
mom.
Out hawking tickets and you know
not
selling,
yet
selling at the concession stand or something.
There's nothing sold there unless you want to buy a Cubano hat or something. Yeah, so yeah, they're 8 and 10 years old.
Yeah,
so
is it challenging trying to balance the work, family life?
Yeah, you know. Now I have 50-50 custody, so mm-hmm. when I'm with them, I really focus on them, you know, after I'm done working. And then I work more when they're not with me.
Sure.
So, and then I travel as much as I can with them and try and do cool, like, things that will create memories with them. So I don't feel like they're getting the short end of the stick at all in any way.
Yeah.
And they understand that that mommy has to work.
Yeah.
And, you know, last year it was really cool because they're not allowed to be on the premises of the festival, but I did take them to the festival. before it started,
okay,
and walked them around, and they got to see people, and
yeah,
I got to introduce them to all of my friends that I work with, and you know.
So when you say they're not allowed, it's because of their age, right?
Yes,
right.
Yeah, it's 21.
Not because they've done something bad, or
did you punish them for doing this?
No, because it's 21 and up.
Yeah. Okay, I'm actually glad you said that. Not that I would take anyone, but the audience should probably know. It's
Yeah, 21 and up.
Okay.
So that's due to our ABC.
Okay, that makes sense.
Permits.
Okay.
So.
All right, we're about 5 weeks and counting. You probably know the days, hours, and minutes.
Yeah, actually, no. I've just been working as hard as I can, trying not to think about that.
Yeah. Any big hurdles that you have to overcome before?
You know, at this point, it's all about the details. So it's just making sure everything is covered. So since we do production, you know, I mean, the space as far as sponsors and partners in the actual spaces, it's sold out. So now it's more just finishing selling tickets and making sure that we have enough ice and trash cans and, you know, enough of everything in all of the right spots. And but we've done it so many years. It's just, it's more of a matter of a checklist at this point.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Hmm. And but there's so many things on that checklist.
Yeah.
Nothing can get overlooked.
Okay.
So we have constant production meetings, like where we just sit down and go through every single event.
Yeah.
Again and again and again.
Somebody
it's
tweeted,
a little bit tedious. But
somebody tweeted wants to know how big is this a big staff? Does it take hundreds, thousands, dozens, two? I mean, how many people does it take to put on a show like this?
You know, so I have 8 people that work full time now. Or part-time, but like year-round.
Yeah.
And then when it gets closer to the event, then there's another team that comes on to do production, which is, I don't know, probably another 5 or 6, and then a ton of volunteers.
Hmm.
So we have lots of volunteers. This year, actually, which we just started working with fraternities and sororities at Chapman for internships. So we have a lot of interns, and they're all, you know, great.
Yeah.
So we're working. We have a lot of interns this year, too.
Okay.
So, but it takes a lot of people.
Takes a village.
Yes.
And can you give us a shameless plug for a list of some of your sponsors that come? I know you're not going to remember all of them here, but, you know, sponsors, people are going to be. Give us a who's who of who we're going to see.
Yeah. Well, our sponsors, our title sponsor is Pacific Sales, our presenting sponsor for the past, since day one, is Land Rover Jaguar. Chase Private Client, JP Morgan is our financial sponsor. Mm-hmm. Southern Wine and Spirits is our luxury wine partner. You know, Stella, Duke, La Adelita, some spirits, Kettle One Botanicals.
Now, who's your media sponsor? We got to get the Zandbergen Report to be a media sponsor.
Yeah, well, we'll put you on. Send your logo. Yeah, I mean, we work with so many people, like incredible wineries and restaurants. We have some incredible restaurants. It's really the best of the best.
How many restaurants are going to be represented?
So we have, well, it should be 40, but it's about 44.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, over the 2 days. We have different restaurants on Saturday and different restaurants on Sunday.
Oh, is that right?
So if you come both days, you'll have a different experience.
You got to come both days. There's no way you can cover it all one day.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, so all the demos are different. All the restaurants are different. And the wineries are the same, though.
Yeah.
Because
and you say that if you just get
again,
a ticket.
You can't drink them all in one day. Right.
You can come in and just taste. I was going to say ad nauseum, but that's a bad term here. But until you can't anymore here?
You can, yeah. So once you get in the door, everything's included.
Is Uber or Lyft a sponsor?
you know, they need a phone number that I could get somebody in person on.
Wouldn't
we try
nice?
And contact them every year. But yeah, if you have a contact there. But we highly encourage people to Uber and Lyft.
Yeah.
We do have parking at Corporate Plaza right across the street. But
that's great.
You know,
I hired Paul to drive me.
Glad to do it.
All right. We're getting close to the end. And I'm so excited about the event and, you know, be part of it and to come. So super, super excited.
Yeah, me too.
So through your career just as a business owner and working mom and so forth, what do you think is your ultimate lesson learned? What would you share?
My ultimate lesson learned. honestly, it comes down to having grit, like not giving up, because there's so many people that don't have as tough of skin would have given up.
They would have collapsed already, right?
Yeah. So I think grit is kind of the key to like making it all happen. Like, you know, quitting's not an option.
Yeah.
You're going to fail lots.
Yeah.
And instead of, you know, accepting that failure, like figure out how to not fail that way again next time.
Yeah.
So just do it once. But, I think that's what I've really learned. And also travel as much as you can, as far as you can, as long as you can.
It's all great. You know, just funny, just to play off of that, I just finished a book, and he's actually going to be a guest, Paul, in about a month and a half, Bill Wooditch, actually an old friend of mine. Yeah, he wrote a book called Fail More.
Oh.
And fail more in order to become successful.
Yeah.
It was really, really good.
Huh.
The other thing I'd like to ask is, as a business person, what keeps you up at night?
Oh, many things right now.
Details.
Details, yeah. I mean, my schedule's so full, so it's just if I don't put something down on my calendar, I, you know.
Yeah.
I worry about forgetting things.
Okay. So how do you not forget things? What's your
I write them down, and I have a personal assistant that reminds me.
Perfect.
Well, let's not forget the website and details. Where did
they
go find it?
Where are we going to find it?
So it's newportwineandfood.com. And yeah, go online. You can buy tickets there.
Okay. And all the details are everything there.
All the details.
If anyone wants to reach you, is there a contact in there they can reach out to you for anything?
They can, I believe my email is in there.
Yeah. Or
info. Info at newbiefest.com.
Okay. All right.
Newbiefest is newbiefest.com. But you can also type in an inquiry and someone will get back to you.
Okay. All right. Well, the next time you're on the show will be after the event. Maybe we'll do some sort of a recap.
Yeah, I would love to.
And prepare for next year.
Perfect.
Just bring all the leftover wine and everything. We'll consume it here on the show here, right? You can do a show. Whatever's left over, you can just bring it in.
I'll bring wine in next time. We'll have a little party in here.
There you go.
Well, Stephanie, thanks so much for being part of the show. It was a lot of fun, and I think the audience are going to get a big kick out of the show, and thanks so much for all your sharing.
Oh, good. Well, thanks for inviting me. This was fun.
Of course. All right. Thank you for all who have tuned in, and we'll see you all next week. Cheers.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzandbergen.podbean.com. The Zandbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show, or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com. Bart A. Zandbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest, Inc., and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest, Inc., under SEC registration.